Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Christ the King Redemptive Ministries Kingdom Lifestyles Broadcast. I, along with my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, would like to take the time to thank you for joining us. I am your hostess, Prophetess Crystal McQueen. We want to invite you to share with us as we study the Word of God. It is our purpose to help you grow, mature, be healed, and prosper by teaching you the Word of God. We encourage you to get involved with the lesson. You may call into the show at 1-718-766-4583 or join in with the chat sessions during the show. We welcome your questions, comments, and prayer requests. Please visit us at our website at www.ctkr.org. This is a helpful place for you to learn about us and help us expand the kingdom of God. There you can become a partner with us and see our upcoming events. We are looking forward to sharing the Word of God with you. Be blessed in the Lord and enjoy the broadcast. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Prophetess Crystal McQueen, and once again, welcome to my show, Prophetic Atmosphere. I thank God for you, you, and especially you. Amen. I just want to just say that I'm excited tonight about what God is doing in each and every one of your lives. Amen. And we here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries is definitely looking forward, amen, to God doing mighty, great and mighty things in the lives of his people, amen. But before I get into the word, I definitely want to go into the announcements, amen. And as we go into the announcements, we'll go into prayer. And after prayer, then we will get right into the word of God, amen. Amen and amen. Just want to let you know, people of God, that every Tuesday at 7 p.m., join us for Kingdom Lifestyles broadcast. And every prophetic atmosphere. Also on Saturday at 9:30 a.m. and Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. Join us for our live broadcast. Amen. Christ the King Redemptive Ministries. And you can hear every broadcast we have live at www.ctkr.org. As many of you know, that is definitely our website. Those of you who are new to our ministry, more about us, amen, myself and Apostle McQueen, as well as learn about our ministries, Christ the King Redemptive Ministry. And also we do ask that you would please become a prayer partner and a vision partner with spread the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. Also, people of God, we want to also let you know that, amen, as you pray about becoming a vision partner with this ministry, we also ask that you would begin to support us as we support those ministries who have submitted unto our covering, amen, that are overseas, Africa, Kenya, amen, Uganda, Pakistan, and other ministries that have submitted unto our covering, amen. We're asking that you would begin to support them as well. Amen. They too have a vision. They too have been given up. And we're asking you to help us to help them. Amen. And like us. want to touch and agree with you in prayer. Amen. Hold you up, touching and agree, two or three to gather together. Anything we ask in his name. Amen. Please locate us at www.ctkr.org. As you do that, look at the top of the page where it says contact us. Follow the instructions there and someone will contact you within 12. To continue to God. Like I said, those are the announcements. The Central Florida area, especially the area of Cocoa. Destiny Revival. That's this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Women of Prophetic Destiny Revival. I will be speaking on Friday night, as well as my husband, Apostle Christopher McQueen, will be speaking on Saturday night. So come out. Services start at 7 p.m. on both nights. Amen. That's 7 p.m. for Women of Prophetic Destiny. This weekend, Friday, Saturday, tonight, 7 p.m. of the matter, Sunday morning at 8. Announcement yourselves accordingly to those. Amen. Now let us seek the Lord in prayer, and then immediately in prayer, let us go into this word of God on this evening. Amen. And we bless your name on today. There's no one else like you, O God. Before you, I'm even asking God that you would begin to pour out your spirit on them, Lord, and that you would begin to put a spirit of obedience down on the inside of them, that they will seek after you to complete the assignment, to complete their purpose, to complete their will. Have placed up on their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, as we come, we ask that you would anoint this word. God, I'm asking that the presence of the Holy Spirit will come into this room and begin to minister effectively to every life, God, in this place, in the name of Jesus, that you would touch every life that's under the sound of my voice, that they would seek out. Name we pray, amen and amen. Right wherever you are, people of God, begin to give God some glory. Hallelujah. Begin to open up your mouth and begin to give God some praise. Hallelujah. To your name. Glory. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. I just had to give a hand clap of praise, and I just didn't want that hand clap, amen, to just begin to sound loud, extremely loud over the airwaves, but I just had to give my God some glory. I don't know about you, but he's just been that good, that kind, that just, that favorable, amen. He's just that kind of God, amen, and he deserves all of my glory and all of my praise. He's been too good to me, amen. I know we say that all the time. honestly, people of God, he's really been good to us, because if it was left up to some people, they would have already counted us out a long time ago. If it was left up to the enemy, he would have already wiped us out a long time ago. So why are you sitting there with your arms crossed and your legs crossed? You need to uncross them and begin to lift up your hands as a sign of surrender. Lift up your heart as a sign of worship, and open up your mouth and give him some glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We serve an awesome God, a mighty King. Hallelujah. The great I am. We serve him. Amen. With all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, we give him all glory. Amen. Amen. And amen. I don't know about you, but I never want a day to pass, amen, without praise. Yes, yes. Yes, Lord. Thank you, God. Give him glory. Amen. Well, people of God, hallelujah. I was just, amen, just worshiping the Lord and just giving him some praise and some glory, and I just, amen. Being in ministry, or has ordained you for whatever purpose or whatever calling he has given you, so it's a time to, and just don't represent God. And I don't know about you, but if you look around in Christendom today, there is a lot of stuff. I like that word. I'll just say that it's a lot of stuff, false religion, false doctrine, amen, false truths, false beliefs that need to be uprooted, that need to be torn down, that need to be just basically eradicated, amen, from out of Christendom, amen. We have people that have taken different beliefs and different cult beliefs and different man-made, made-up gospels, and have tried to intertwine it and twist it and make, sprinkling a little bit of Jesus on it. And because the people that are sitting under that hearing, sitting under those words, are not seeking God for themselves, are not looking for God for themselves, therefore they do not know how to rightly divide the word of truth and know for themselves what the master is really saying. That's why it really behooves us, amen, that we have to go after pastors and ministers and teachers that have the heart of God. I'm going to say that one more time. We need you, myself, and everybody in this world, we need to seek after and ask God to lead us to pastors, lead us to leaders, men and women who are truly called by God, who are truly anointed by God to rightly divide this word of truth, who are called to minister to your soul, who are called to correct and train and build and rebuke and buffet and exhort and push. Amen. Minister to everything in you so that you can become all who God has called you to be. Amen. And we're not going to get there by someone continuously stroking our ego and telling us how great and mighty we are. We're not going to get there, but when we're surrounded by people who are telling you that it's always going to be good, that it's always going to be the pie in the sky, that you're always going to be blessed. Everywhere you go, there's going to be money coming out of every corner, every facet, every place where you step. There's always going to be favor. And there are times, yes, because God is a God of favor, he will give you favor with himself and with man. But we have to also recognize that as he's giving us that favor, his whole purpose is that we will preach and teach the kingdom of God, that we would demonstrate him in the earth, that we would tell somebody about his precious son, Jesus Christ. And most of all, that we would tell somebody that it is right to be saved, that salvation is the ultimate goal. Amen. Not just impress people with what we have and our elegant words and what we wear and what we drive and where we live, but basically begin to touch a human life, begin to impress upon a human life and let them know that Christ lives here, the hope of glory, and that when they look at you, they will see a change. Then they will say, I want that change. I want that peace. I want what it is that you have that I can't seem to get anywhere else. I've been watching you, and I've been seeing you go through different changes and different things, but I've noticed that you have always remained consistent. How is it that we remain consistent, people of God? It's because we trust in one that is higher than us. We put our faith in one that is greater than us. We put our hope in one that loves us, and only it is he, amen, that has made us and not we ourselves. And when we begin to understand that we have a purpose, then we will begin to understand that others have a purpose. But when you don't recognize your purpose, there's no way, nowhere, and no how are you going to be able to recognize somebody else's purpose, let alone begin to mold them and shape it and pull it out of them. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, because you're probably like, well, prophetess, where are you going tonight? As I said, I just want to encourage tonight. Amen. I want to build tonight. I just want to bring back into your hearing and rehearse to you, amen, what it is we need to be doing, what our purpose is, what our reason for being, why God has placed you where he's placed you, why God has placed me where he has placed me. We have to understand that we're here, amen, not because we decided to be here. We're here because God has placed his hand on us. God has spoken and predestined us before the foundation of the world for you to be born at a specific time and for you to grow up through the years, and that you, when you arrive, that you would pass by different people, different situations, affect your life, and you will persevere over those situations if you allow God to move it through you. And as you persevered, use you for his glory. Hallelujah. So here it is. One moment. Amen. So here it is, people of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's go to chapter 3 and let's start at the 17th verse and then read down through there. Amen. Amen. I'm pulling it up. Technology. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Let's start at the 17th verse. Amen. I'm going to come out of the King James Version, and then I'm also going to read it out of the Message Bible as well. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now the Lord, I'm going to read that again. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed, amen, into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now let's go to chapter 4. Therefore, starting at the first verse, therefore, seeing we have this ministry as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience, the sight of God. But if our gospel be hidden, or be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Verse 5, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not in distress. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed, always bearing about in the body of our body. I'm going to stop there, 10. And I'm going to start back. We just opened up, amen, for those of you who joined us, we read from 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 17 and 18, and then we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Amen. For those of you who are taking notes, one of the things that we have to truly understand, people of God, is that God is a spirit. And wherever God's spirit is, there is liberty, there is freedom. Amen. We sing the song for many years, freedom, 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 freedom. But it's one thing we really have to understand is that when Christ lives on the inside of you, there needs to be a liberty that lives on the inside of you. Everything about you needs to be liberated. There should be no chains binding you. There should be no feathers binding you. And it's sad, but I see many people of God that have been saved a number of years, but they're not happy with their salvation. They're not happy being in the kingdom. When you really look at them, you're like, well, why are you even here? Because they all, when you look at them, you don't see no joy, you don't see no peace, you don't see no hope, and you sure don't see no glory. If anything, you just see always a face frowned up in their speech, always an edge to them, amen? They're just not happy with being in Christ. And we used to sing a song saying, I'm happy with Jesus alone, but they're not happy with Jesus alone. And because some people have came over on this side or have gotten saved just so that they can escape hell, but they have no intention or no knowledge of being able to change into his image. When you allow, amen, when you have an encounter with the Holy Spirit, an encounter with God himself, that anything that is not like him cannot stand in his presence. Anything that is not like him will not have the gall to even raise his head. And if it does, the power of God will cut it right off. There's something about a freedom, spiritual freedom, spiritual liberty. No, I'm not saying that everything in your life is going to be great, grand, and wonderful. I'm not saying you are going to go through some trials. There are going to be times when you will walk the floor at night. There are going to be times, amen, when the pressure is on. There's going to be times, amen, when it looks like the enemy is about to take you out. It's going to be times where tears are going to be streaming down your face, but you have to understand that regardless of what I'm going through, regardless of my midnight season, I know that there's another side to this. I know that I am an overcomer. You got to hear me. You got to hear me. You got to hear me. If you have been saved for a number of years, you should still have that joy. You should still have that peace. You should still have, when somebody mentions the name of Jesus, the lover of your soul, there should still be something on the inside of you that still feels him, and it resonates with him when you begin to call upon the name of Jesus. The Bible says every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, when you first got saved, amen, you were beating the pastor because you just wanted to be in the presence of the Most High God. Every time the church door opened, you were there. You either trying to clean, sweep, dust, mop. You were trying to be on everybody's salary. You just wanted to be the presence. Wanted to be where God is, because why? There was a freedom, there was a liberty, there the chains that had bound you, the strongholds that had you yoked up, things were broken off you, and you just wanted to just resonate and live in the presence of the Lord. But as the years went on and the test continued and the trials progressed, and the people that you thought were saved just like you were, you found out that they were just as carnal as the one that as the person that's unsaved. If you really want to be honest about it, you can find people that are not saved that have the more love, amen, and more compassion than they who have it in the church, who claim, amen, that they have the Holy Ghost. You can help, amen, from someone who doesn't even know who Jesus really is. You can get somebody to lean on, somebody to lend you, somebody that you shoulder you can cry on when you need help. A help that is in the own house who will sit back and watch you go through and watch you watch the enemy creep up on you, and will sit back and be like, well, you know, well, child, I saw it coming, so I was trying to pray. But you know, say, we all got to go through something. We all got to learn sometimes. You know, sometimes you just got to sit on down and just let him be and just let things happen. Oh no, oh no, oh no, oh no, 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 no. You who are spiritual, if you say that you love me, and you see that I'm heading towards, or that you see that the enemy has set an ambush, you who say you love me, you who say that we are cut from the same cloth, that we are joint heirs, that we are one, that we are the body of Christ, we that are connected, you should be seeking and praying and fighting and warring in the spirit realm for my soul. You say that the Spirit of the Lord is in you. Therefore, if there's any yokes that are around my neck or any chains that the enemy is trying to use, then you should have enough power, enough Jesus in your life to be able to break the yokes off of my neck. Because let's face it, baby, there's some situations that you go through. Yes, we know that God has the ultimate say and that God brings us through. But sometimes, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get tired of the fight. I get tired of the press. I get weary trying to climb up another mountain. Sometimes I just get thirsty and I'm
just weary and worn, and I'm just ready to throw in the towel. And you who are spiritual, you say that you're connected, you who say that God has delivered you and set you free, you should be speaking over my life. You should be praying for me. You should be calling out my name at the altar. You should be beginning to speak and decree and declare and break some of your spirit realm on my behalf. Not talk about me. Not watch me fall off the cliff and then talk about the Lord done showed you that it was going to happen. Wait, hold up. Hold up. If he showed you I was going to fall off the cliff, then it was your responsibility to pray me back before I fell off the cliff. In other words, that's also known as intercession. Last time I checked in the book, intercession is standing in the gap for someone. We don't want to do that no more. You can't even get nobody to stand with you in prayer for 5 minutes, let alone really going through a test and really through a trial and asking somebody to truly stand in the gap with you. Why is it that you can have a large ministry, but when we begin to see how that ministry is being strengthened and how that ministry is withstanding the darts, the fiery trials of the enemy, you can't even, when you really get down to it and start seeing, well, where are the prayer warriors? You'll see thousands, many people in the church, but the prayer warriors are always twos, threes, and fours. I'm just saying. But we want to prophesy. But we want to hold revivals. But we want to have many programs. But no one's being set free. Many people aren't being delivered. Many people are not coming into the fullness of who Christ is. Now, prophetess is not saying that no one is doing it. I fully believe and I know for a fact that God has his remnant. There are people that are out there doing everything that God has called them to do. They're standing strong and proud in it. They're chopping off the enemy's head. They're pulling people out of the dark places, out of pits. Amen. They're preaching Jesus everywhere they go. They're living the life to the fullest. Praying, interceding, warring on behalf of others. But there's just as many that have the facade of power, the facade of glory. They got good programs. They got good, making sure they got good music. They make sure that they got good presentation, but there's no power behind the facade. So that's why people can come in and be sick and remain sick. People can come mentally and emotionally and physically bound and bound. But we'll make sure that you make it to our little program, our month-long teaching and training on how to make your marriage better. Baby, if you don't have God in the middle of your marriage, it's not going to get better, number one. Number two, if you're not willing to change, it takes two to put a marriage and hold a marriage together. If you're not willing to change, if you're not willing to do what you need to do, if you're somebody else, one accord, you become married. You're no longer two, but you're one in God's sight. So there's no me, mine, and this is what I'm doing over here. It's what are we doing? What are we doing for God? I can't do no more than my husband. My husband can't do no more without me. We need each other because when God sees us, he sees us as one. Even for those of you who are living or married and maybe you have a spouse that's not saved, the Bible strictly talks about that the one that is saved will sanctify the spouse. So no matter how you try to look at it, you still are seen as one in God's sight. But I'm going to leave that alone. That's for the marriage counseling, but we're not there. That's not what this is tonight. We're not talking. We're talking about that the Spirit, that the Lord is a Spirit, and how when He shows up, there is liberty. There's freedom. There's a joy to being saved. If you don't have no joy, if you're saved and you don't have no joy in your life, you better check. You better check. Somewhere, someplace, there's a stronghold. There's a stronghold. It is what it is. It's a stronghold. It's either a stronghold from your past, a stronghold in your presence, but there's a high thought in your mind, amen, that you have allowed to take root and allowed to build up a wall and keeping truth out. But because wherever God truly is, there's a freedom and there's a liberty. It says, but we all, with open face, beholding as in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, amen, from glory to glory. So why am I going through? The reason why I'm going through this is because you don't know what I've been going through. I've been going through this situation for a long time, and I done did everything I could, and this joker is still on me. It won't loose me. Well, let's look at the scripture right here. Verse 18 says, but we all with face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are into the same image from glory to glory. From faith to faith, from test to test, from trial to trial, we are changed into His image. So let's look at this real clear. Maybe the reason why it hasn't lifted off of you is because God is trying to get you out the way. He's trying to get that stronghold, that image, that high thought, that very thing that you keep using as a banner to wave every time you're before Him. He's trying to get that out of your way. He's trying to uproot it. He's making the way hard. Therefore, He's making the test strong. Therefore, He's making it where it almost becomes terrible, because be a for some of us, we don't want to be broken under His presence. We try to stay. I don't know where we get that. That's nothing but pride and rebellion. We don't want to be broken in the presence of God. We want to make everybody, I can't go down. Can't nobody see me looking like this. Why not? You're a mess anyway. You're a mess spiritually. Anybody who has any type of spiritual eyesight can see that you're not happy. We can see that you're going through. We can see that the enemy has got a rope around your neck ready to push you off the cliff any second. Struggling with your past, struggling with old issues, and you don't want to be broken before God in His presence because I don't want nobody to see me. I just can't be rolling on the floor. Who said you have to roll on the floor? All you have to do is just get before Him in your heart and say, God, whatever you need to do, just do it for me. If tears roll down your eyes, what? Who cares? I don't care. If I'm hurting bad enough, that's the problem. You're not hurting bad enough. You're still trying to manage it like a drug addict. You're still trying to manage the problem like an alcoholic. You're still trying to manage the issues, manage the problem. Instead of just allowing the presence of God to break down whatever the enemy is trying to keep over and hold you and hold in your life. Why? Because He's trying to push you into more of who He push you into His image, to His likeness, which is His character. He's trying to put His character, push the enemy off of you, push the strongholds off of you, push the old man out the way, get the flesh out the way, so that His character can shine forward more in you, so that when people see you, they're not seeing your brokenness, they're not seeing your issues, they're not seeing your stains, they're not seeing your cracks, and they're not seeing your crevices. What they're seeing is Christ behind. You better listen to me. We sit there and the power of God comes and we're like, I can't get it. I just want to get it off me. I can't get it off me. I want to get it off. What kind of mess? What kind of foolishness is that? That's nothing but the enemy speaking in your ear to keep you bound. You don't want to lose control. You just want to, you need to just hold it together. Just hold it together. Don't let it just loose. Just shake yourself. Begin to walk around so you won't begin to lift up your hands. For being delivered. One step from being free. And yet, we sit there and we allow the enemy, we allow ourselves to talk us out of what God wants to do in us. But foolish and crazy. God, see me through. God, do this. God, do that. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Well, you do know that yes. You do know that yes that you're giving him says, I'm giving to do whatever you need to do to bring more into more of you. I'm willing to lay it down, everything you're asking me to let go. I'm willing to lay it down because why? I need more of you. I'm trying to help somebody tonight. Now, I'm not saying this prophetess is not saying this so that you can be embarrassed, so that, you know, you can be ashamed. No. I'm not trying to do that. I'm trying to tell you the tricks that the enemy plays on us, as well as sometimes it's just our own tricks, our own flesh. Because, see, if I hold on to this, then people will still patty cake me. If I hold on to this, people will still act like they like me. People will still do for me. If I remain in this state, people are always going to be like the prodigal son and wake up and say, you know what? My life is better than this. I deserve better than this. The King of God, the King that I serve, has more for my life than this. I just got to go to where he is so that I can have what he's always had sitting there for me. I can have what has always been mine to begin with. So we are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even by the Spirit of the Lord. So that test, that trial, that mountain that you continuously circle over and over again is because he is trying to change you into his image so that when he looks at you, what is reflected back to him is himself. Amen. So now, seeing that we have ministry, we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. As we have received mercy, we faint not. The Message Bible says, since God has so generously let us in on what he's doing, we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. You wonder why you're not getting the breakthrough that you want? You wonder why God is not answering you the way you want him to? You wonder why you've been praying that prayer for the past 10 years and it don't look like nothing changed? Because for some of us, we threw up our hands every time it gets a little hard. I'm not talking about really hard. I'm just talking about the day of stress. Somebody say one thing to us, it done threw our whole day off. We have already thrown up our hands and are ready to walk. I said, man, I can't take this. They don't know who they talking to. They don't treat me on any kind of way. They don't know who I am. And we walk off, we forfeit our blessing, we forfeit what God is trying to do in us, but we want the blessing so bad. But we want him to do better for us, but we're not willing to do what it takes for him to bless us. We're not willing to give up. We're not willing to give up our fleshly desires so that his can be fulfilled, his will can be fulfilled in us. So he says we're not about to throw up our hands and walk off the job just because we run into occasional hard times. We refuse to wear masks and play games. I love that part of scripture right there, because we have many in the house of God that are wearing masks. I preached a message years ago, take off the mask. I know other people that preached it over the years because the word of God, it will always be repeated over and over. Why? Because his people need to hear it, because we have not overcome with some things he's been trying to teach us and train us on. When we overcome, then he changes his message. But for many of us, we got 2, 3, 4, 5 masks on. We got so many, we wear so many masks, we don't even know who we are. He said, we refuse to wear masks and play games. Well, King James says, verse 2, but have announced, renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully. So I'm not here so I can get you to give me money. I'm not here so I can say things that are quick and witty to get you to like me. I want to tell you the truth. And I refuse to play games with you. Why? Because your soul will be required by my hands. By me not telling you the truth of what God is saying, I am responsible for that. So you know what? I got enough. He says this. He says this. He says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes. And we don't twist God's word And we don't twist God's word. One more time. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. In other words, we don't just want to preach the parts that make us popular. We don't want to just preach the parts that are going to make us, as we think, rich. We're not just going to preach the parts that lift us up and lift us higher up in our own personal glory. You understand what I'm saying? We begin to preach the whole gospel of Jesus Christ. The good, the bad, even the stuff we don't like, not just what we want to hear, but preach the whole word. And we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, the whole truth on display, so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. See, nobody wants to be judged anymore. Nobody wants to be held accountable anymore. People will seek to find ministries that they can put themselves under as covering, who can care less of who they are, less of what type of lifestyle they're living, less if they even know how to find Genesis out of the Bible and verses the book of Job and where that is in the Bible. As long as I'm paying my dues to renew my license every year, then I'm fine. Don't come over here talking about why I'm over here tipping and slipping. Don't come over here why talking about my drinking, my smoking. Don't come over here why talking about my fornication. Don't come asking me and trying to correct nothing, because I are the pastor of this house. The devil is a liar.
He is a liar. The truth ain't in him. Or you, if you believe in that mess. The word of God, when it's truly and honestly being taught and lived, can stand up to anything, any test, any trial, any falsehood. I don't care what they're trying to tell you. The word of God, he says, my word shall remain. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall remain. It's not about what you say. It's not about what I say. It's not about what prophecies we give. His word shall stand. And if God said in his word, don't do this, he means don't do this. So that when you meet him face to face, he's going to ask you, why did you do this? When my word clearly says the opposite. And we can't come with no excuses of, well, you know, I'm just not all into that. Oh, you're not? Well, you need to go ahead and step to the side then, because you did not fulfill my assignment upon your life. Next, and we all know where that next side. Why go there because of your feelings? Why go there because of your beliefs? Why go there because of what you think, how you feel, how it should be? The word of God is right regardless of my opinion, your opinion, my feeling. Listen, you think prophetess and apostle always want to, when we read this word, we find ourselves in it as well. The Holy Ghost convicts us just like he convicts you. If not even more so, why? Because we're standing before others and saying that we're standing before others as leaders, amen, his leaders, with his name upon us, and saying, having a bad, you know, I just had to say this and say that, but you know, I'm all right now. Mm-mm. We're going to give an account for every word. Huh? Listen, I've run out of time. I'm going to stop here. But I want to continue on where I left off at, amen, next week when you join me at 7 p.m. on Thursday. Come on, let's pray. Father, right now in Jesus' name, God, we thank you. We love you. Amen. We adore you. We worship you. There's no one else like you. We love you. Father, let this word be in us. Change us, move us, shift us, do whatever you got to do. Until we are standing in this word without any spot nor wrinkle. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're not saved, please pray this prayer. Father, I'm a sinner. Save me. Wash me. I'll serve you. In Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer, welcome to the kingdom of God. We here at Christ the King Redemptive Ministries are believing that God is going to lead you to a Bible-believing church that's going to teach you and train you and raise you up so that you can fulfill the mission and will of God upon your life. Listen, I'm Prophetess Crystal McQueen. Go to my website, www.ctkr.org. Love to hear from you. Amen. Love to hear what God is doing in your life. Amen. Join me next week, next Thursday at 7 p.m. for another episode of Prophetic Atmosphere. And then join us on Saturday morning at 9:30 and Sunday morning at 8:30 for our live broadcast, Christ the King Redemptive Ministries, with Apostle Christopher and himself. See you guys next week. Love you. Be blessed.